Okay, so last week we talked about the very interesting week that Jesus had leading up to Easter. To recap briefly, if you weren't here, on his way to Jerusalem for Passover, Jesus was feeling a little peckish, a little hungry. They were riding all day from up north. So he went up to a fig tree that didn't have any fruit on it because it wasn't in season for fruit. But he didn't care. So he killed it. He cursed the fig tree. Not a very good beginning of a week for our friend Jesus. Not a very nice thing to do to that poor little tree. The lesson here, people go, well, what's the lesson in Jesus killing a fig tree? That's not very nice. Well, the truth is, God is not nice. God is good. God is good. So sometimes, even the holiest people get hungry. Don't feel bad about yourself if you snap a little. It happens. So then he continues on as his blood sugar plunges even more. And he goes to the temple and he sees a shopping mall all around the temple on the outside. What did he do? Did he pray for them? Did he bless them with an affirmation? No, he whipped them. He beat them up. He turned their tables over. And he wouldn't let anybody go in to do any sacrificing. Jesus is cranky. What a cranky guy, this one. So then the Passover dinner happens. We call it the Last Supper. What happens there? Well, his good friend Judas betrays him. The disciples, what did they do? They got drunk and they fell asleep. They go to the garden. And the call comes through. Jesus, I have news for you. Please let this call pass me by. No, it's for you, Jesus. And he says, fine. He said, why didn't I put that on airplane mode? And then his good friend Peter denies him three times. Everybody he knows, he gets arrested. Everybody he knows except for his mother and a group of Marys. So to speak, if you will. Desert him during his public flogging, his trial, and crucifixion. We in Unity call that a challenging week. Now we come to Easter Sunday, and as Kathy shared with us from Luke 24, the women who followed Jesus went to the tomb to prepare the body for funeral, for burial. When they arrived, they found a large boulder that was sealing up the tomb had been moved aside. Very curious. They went inside and Jesus was gone. Wasn't there. Instead of Jesus, what do they find? Two men. Sitting there going, hey. They went, are we in the right place? So the two men or two angels or two divine beings, depending on which Bible you read, were there and they said to the woman, a truth I think is one of the most powerful and profound teachings of the whole Easter story. They said, why do you seek the living among the dead? This is the real message of the resurrection. No matter what you've been through, no matter how traumatizing your life has been, no matter what it took to get through the crucifixion to get to your resurrection, you are not only a survivor, but a thriving, powerful, unstoppable, joyful creation of God. That is who you are. That's the truth of who you are. The challenges or even the tragedies of your past cannot stop your success of the future or now. They cannot. The unshakable kingdom that Rosina sang about is inside of you right now. It didn't go anywhere, even though you may not feel it. like Jesus, you will, all of us will, have some deep scar tissue that will always be there at your resurrection and beyond. It's what Henry Nouwen calls the wounded healer. It's a part of who we are on the planet right now. Now, somehow in unity, we got the mistaken idea that our scars should disappear as if they never happened. It's not the truth. It happened. The scars remain to remind you of what you got through and where you are today. It reminds you that you lived through it and you're better, stronger, more compassionate, more aware of your divinity than you would have been if you didn't go through that. In fact, you programmed that. This is really kind of a challenging idea, but I just want you to work with it for a moment. Before you came to the planet, your soul knew what you wanted to accomplish here on planet Earth. So you made an agreement with spirit on the other side that you were going to go through this because you knew you were going to survive it. Because you knew you were going to get through it. That your crucifixion had to include a resurrection. Always. So what you went through, your soul knew, I'm going to make it. I'm going to get through this and be even better than I was before. Again, Henry Nouwen wrote, "The risen Jesus, showing his pierced hands, feet, and sides to his friend, also revealed that all we have lived in our bodies during our years on earth, our joyful as well as our painful experiences, will not simply fall away from us like a useless cloak, but will mark our unique way of being with God and each other as we make the passage into death." In other words, the scars that you bear from abuse, from pain, from fear, from separation, from abandonment, from betrayal, have made you this wonderful, divine person that you are, the understanding person, the loving person, the empathic person, the compassionate person that you are today is the result of what you had to go through. There's a wonderful website I go to often when I need a lift. It's called GivesMeHope.com. That's a wonderful title. And its sister site, LoveGivesMeHope.com. Now, anyone can go on and post something good that has happened to them or something life-changing or something just encouraging or grateful that they feel to lift themselves up and other people. I want to share a few of the postings with you this morning. One said, "I was at the self-checkout at the grocery store. I wore a t-shirt, so the scars on my wrist obviously showed. I had been cutting myself for 3 years. The girl at the checkout next to me then came over and took my hand. 'I'm so glad you're still here,' she said. 'I haven't cut since.' Another said, 'It was freezing today. I found a homeless man sleeping in the cold with just one blanket. Suddenly, a stray dog came along and cuddled next to him. Realizing that the dog was really cold and shivering, the man gave his blanket to the dog. A boy was dying of cancer and needed an expensive brain surgery, but his family, broke and desperate, couldn't afford it. His 8-year-old sister took her piggy bank to a pharmacy in order to buy a miracle. It just so happened that the man standing next to the little girl at that moment was a neurosurgeon. He performed the surgery for free." You react well. Oh. Oh. "My best friend died in a car accident on his way to deliver me soup for my cold. Found in the car was also a bouquet of flowers and a card that read, 'We've been best friends for the last 5 years. Now let's be lovers for the next 50. 3 days ago, my best friend died. 2 days ago, I found out she was an organ donor. A day ago, I heard that a 9-year-old boy now has her heart. Today, I met that 9-year-old boy. He told me that because he had my best friend's heart, he'd be my best friend now. Oh! I know, we react that. Some made me really cry, too. It was very powerful. But in all of these, there were deep scars or fears that seemed overwhelming to the person involved. But the power of love was the healing element in each and every one of them. The two divine beings told the women at the tomb that first Easter, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" As we know from our Unity philosophy, every single person, every event, every situation in the Bible is your journey, is my journey, on our way to unfolding our realization of oneness. Now, men in a Bible story represent the analytical part of our being, no matter who we are, and women in the story will represent our intuitive understanding of the soul. When we think our good is dead, when we sink into depression, anxiety, and fear, we often are simply giving up hope that anything can be better in life. You know, we might have an idea, we may have the intellectual understanding that, yeah, things get better, but we don't really see a way for that to happen when we're sunk into that despair and depression. Those two beings represent the love and wisdom of God, always showing up when you go somewhere dead. So that love and wisdom of our God self, our Christ self, can never and will never die, no matter what you're feeling right now. It's still alive within you. No matter how terrifying the process of coming out of the valley of the shadow of death might seem, God within you is revealing the truth. Stop focusing on the past. Let it go. It's dead. If it happened, it's dead. It's gone. Stop reliving over and over and over again in your mind what has happened to you. Stop wanting it to be different than it was. It was what it was. Simply take a step back and look at it. And start celebrating your victory over death, over fear, over defeat, over failure, lack, limitation, or any other belief that is keeping you from living your life fully today. Why are you looking for the past, the dead past, in your life of today? It isn't present. It's not here. Why are you looking for your life among dead ideas? Of course, we have to go through a healing time of grief, of anger, of going through what we have to go through. We have to do that. It's part of the healing process. But then we allow spirit through prayer, through counseling, through spiritual study, however God reveals it to you, to bless, to forgive, and to release that which is in the past, and then to reclaim our power to continue our journey and remember our oneness with God, which is why we're here. All these stories that I shared with you a moment ago had one common element: an angel of love was present somewhere in there, in the guise of a small boy with a new heart or a shivering dog. They all revealed the truth to the person who was going through an intense crucifixion. If you're going through an intense crucifixion, look for your angels. They're right in front of you. They're right here, right now. Open your eyes and see them. Whatever you're going through today, keep going. Go through it. Go through it. Go through it. You've heard me say, I go through the valley of the shadow of death. I go through it. I don't build a condo there. We're just visiting. You don't live there. So Easter is the ultimate celebration, celebrating the astonishing truth that love is stronger than death, that life is stronger, that light is stronger than darkness, that forgiveness is more powerful than any abuse you have ever gone through. You have never gone through anything so abusive that the power of love through forgiveness cannot heal it. Amen. 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 That joy is more powerful than despair. You lift your joy up and you let God bring the healing through your joy. God is more powerful within you than the problems outside in the world. Always will be, always has been. You have a choice today. This Easter, you have a choice to be the awesome creation of a loving God that you have been created to be from before you got here. Or you can pretend that you're not. You get two choices. You can be the truth or you can pretend not to be. You're a spiritual being going through a human experience. But you are a spiritual being at core forever and ever. So if you choose resurrection, nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you from having the life that you want. And you do that by celebrating you today. How are you going to celebrate you after, well, this is the good beginning. But after you leave here, how are you going to continue the celebration? Brunch! Eating! Woohoo! By being with people you love. By coming from Paris to celebrate in New York. How great is that? By being here for the first time at Unity of New York, maybe in a year or two. By simply celebrating and knowing I'm a powerful being of God who can do anything. And the second part is to celebrate other people. We're here to celebrate each other, to be with each other, to remind each other, to be the mirror of God that we are. By celebrating somebody else in a very powerful way. So your Easter assignment, it's a fun one, is to look for the good in somebody today. Maybe somebody you haven't seen good in. Maybe it's really hard to see the good in this somebody. But your job is to see them as your Father, Mother, God sees them, which is perfect, which is innocent, which is beautiful, no matter what they're wearing. We look beyond the fashion, or lack of. And we tell them how marvelous they are, how incredible they are. I wish everybody here could be up here and for me to see you, from where I am, and looking at you. God, you're beautiful. God, you're beautiful. Sometimes it's overwhelming how beautiful you are, how much light. I need my sunglasses when I'm looking at you, because you're so beautiful. It's a tie, I know. But I'm up here because I was down there. And I saw the wonderful Unity leaders who were telling me the truth, who overwhelm me every Sunday. So I hope that you know, I hope you know the truth that I know with you today. That you are just incredible. Just so beautiful. And worthy. And worthy of everything that God has and is in and through you today. So tell someone something wonderful about them today. Find something. Anything. Honey, your hair looks so neat. If that's all you can manage, so be it. Tell someone what they mean to you today. Are you having a moment? Not only tell someone how wonderful they are, but give an example. Tell them how they have changed you or have added to your life. Just say, you know, when you're there to hear me in the morning or when I get home, it heals my life. Or just that one word you gave me was amazing. I've shared this before, but when I was at Avery Fisher Hall at Lincoln Center, somebody walked up to me. They wanted a bulletin. And I said, one of the ushers has it. She looked at me. She did a double take. She said, are you Paul? I said, I am. She burst into tears. I didn't know what that meant. Until she said, I can't believe I'm looking at you in the eyes. You don't know what you've done for me. And then she scooted off. I went, oh. You don't know how you're changing somebody's life just by being you, by giving a positive word, by holding them in silent prayer. All it takes to be a child of God is to see a child of God. By acknowledging and seeing the God being that they are, you are acknowledging and igniting your own God being. That's your assignment today. Ignite your own God being. Find your healing by being the healing for somebody else today. And watch your resurrection into success take hold powerfully, joyfully, and permanently. It's waiting for you. Waiting for you to say yes. Take a breath. Close your eyes. Breathe into your heart. Take this wonderful truth that has been activated within you this morning. Relax into it. Know that you are healed. You're whole. You're powerful. You're unlimited. When we begin that process, we take it deeper by singing our meditation song, I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, and all that God is. Know the truth of your God self today. Turn within. Go to your heart. The heart is the core, the center of our being, where we know the truth that God and I are forever one. No separation between the Creator and the created. Our dear brother and teacher shared a wonderful truth. My peace I give you, not as the world gives you, but as the power of God within you gives you. The peace that we only feel when we turn within, turn away from the seeming challenge or problem, and feel the power, presence, and love of God. So I invite you to let go. Let go of any care, concern, problem that you might have, if only for a few minutes, and fill your being with the light, love, and joy of God. The truth is, you are a spiritual being in this human body. It is not your permanent home. You were alive before you got here, and you will be alive and thriving after you have finished your journey here on the planet. In the meantime, we deal with this wonderful body temple, the joys and the challenges it brings having a body. So this morning, we affirm the truth. I am whole, well, and strong as God created me. Breathe that truth into your heart. I am whole, well, and strong as God created me. And as you hold that truth for yourself, I invite you to bring to your mind, to your heart, those in your life who are going through a health challenge, who are having difficulty with their body as it is right now. And as we hold them in our hearts, we affirm silently, you are whole, well, and strong as God created you. Breathe that truth in. You are whole, well, and strong as God created you.
whatever you're going through on this planet. We know that God is your success, that you are here as a child of God, and success is built into our souls, into our very being. And so we quietly in our hearts hold this truth. I am enriched and prospered by my overflowing joy. I am enriched and prospered by my overflowing joy. Let that take hold. Breathe that in. Give way to it. Relax into the truth. Now I invite you to bring to mind those who are perhaps struggling with unemployment or doing what they came to the planet to do fully and joyfully. Hold them in your love, in the light, and quietly affirm you are enriched and prospered by your overflowing joy. You are enriched and prospered by your overflowing joy. Breathe that in. And now in the quiet of your being, I invite you to let love take hold. I am loved as I give love to others. You are loved as you give your love to others. Breathe in love. Let go. And let the love of God take hold in the quiet of your being. In one brief moment, we realize God and I are one. The Christ within affirming, I am the resurrection and the life. I rise shining, triumphant, splendid, glorious, and free. God and I are one. You and I are one forever and ever. And we are grateful. And so it is.